Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're back with the Look Picture. It is a Thursday. Adele has marked the 10th anniversary of her award-winning album, 21, but she still isn't giving away anything about when any new music might be released. Keep listening for that information shouted twice as loud at the end of this show.
Thanks for my intro, Pete. I mean, it's just bizarre, isn't it? I mean, it's just getting
to the end of my tether emotionally, mentally. I'm just shouting everything I can see on my screen.
You've made me sound like an absolute penis there because I've not coming off the back of that. But 99.9% of co-hosts in that situation would have no idea what was going on.
Exactly. Look, so, I'm making you a better co-host, mate. One day, you might be able to have a 3 a.m. slot on...
Norfolk Digital.
Norfolk Digital. I'm making you a better co-host, actually, mate.
Interestingly enough, Adele lived above the pub, which is the second closest pub to where I'm sat right now. So there you go.
So hang on. So I bring that to the table and then you bring that to the table and I'm in the wrong. Awful.
Just riffing, mate. Just riffing. This is the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Luke Moore. He's Pete Donaldson twice a week, actually. I was going to say every week, but it's actually twice a week. We bring you a semi-unplanned / totally unplanned half an hour of absolute nonsense. Now, Peter, I've been looking forward to this because I've actually got a pretty interesting thing that I think you're going to like, okay?
Okay.
So,
all right, then.
Last week, too late for me to bring it into last week's shows, and I thought I'd do it today. Last week, I was just idly flicking around the TV. I was supposed to be reading some book, but I got bored of it. So I put the telly on and I did something I never do, right? I flicked on Channel 5, right? I never watch Channel 5 normally. It's just one of those things I never look at. I've never got any TV shows I like, but I was flicking through and I flicked on Channel 5. And it was showing this one of these countdown shows, which first glance are just a waste of everyone's time. But if you actually give them the time of day, and I was saying this to my wife, obviously she's not natively British, so it's particularly relevant to her. If you actually give them the time, they tell you more about British culture than anything else, right? Do you understand what I mean by that? So you can read about big news events or what the royal family have done or football matches or whatever to tell you the story of British life. But actually these types of shows, they are full of things that you never remembered happened. But when you get reminded of them, it is actually mental.
Right, okay.
And so this particular show was the... it was the top 100, I think, or was it 100? I can't remember. But anyway, it was basically the worst TV moments of the 90s.
Okay, right, yeah, fair.
I would say 85% of them I had no idea even happened, right? But they all did happen, and some of them are absolutely mental, right? Do you remember a TV show in the 90s called Ice Warriors?
No, I don't. Was it like Gladiator? I'm thinking it's Gladiators on Ice, maybe?
It was basically a weird, almost... It was, but honestly, it was almost like LARP on ice crossed with Gladiators. So they had all these characters, like they did the Gladiators, but they actually spoke and had like backstories and were like elves and goblins and stuff. And they had to do all these challenges, like Gladiators, these contestants... But they had to do them on ice. And so you have this amazing situation where it'd be like, who is next to climb the castle of Grayskull among the, you know, the lightning lord? Mm. And it would be like, Nigel from Barnsley. And it would literally, and he'd be like, all right. It was insane, mate. It was full of these events,
right? I
love
that.
Full of these TV shows. I'll briefly give you a couple more. One is an astonishingly ill-conceived TV concept, which I have no idea how it got to TV, but it did. It's this show called Game of War. I promise you, right, this happened, right? Where what they did is, you know, you have those topographical maps that presumably army generals use to move troops around in position to give orders and stuff, right? So they had two of those and in separate rooms. And in each room, you had a recently retired real army general, right? And they would have to compete and do and battle famous battles from throughout history. So they would get, like, I don't know, fucking General Sir So-and-so, who was exactly like you imagine, like an old general, and say, for this episode, Nigel, I'm going to use the word Nigel again because they're always called Nigel. Nigel, you are Napoleon, right? These are your armies. Here's the battlefield. And you've got to send your orders through to your troops and we'll relay them to the other general, who's going to be, in this case, Nelson. And Nelson, you've got to... And they would play out the war with two old men in separate rooms on these maps. And occasionally one of them would get angry. And that was a show for an hour.
That does ring a bell. I seem to recall that. It sounds a bit Channel 4-y for me. What do you reckon?
It kind of had the same aesthetic as the Krypton Factor.
Yeah, it's programming for older men who would also watch Top Gear. What do you reckon?
Yeah, massively, but much more slow paced. Like, and absolutely zero sense of humour. And the final one I want to get to, there's loads of these. Like, you should look it up. Like, there's loads of them. The final one I want to get to is one of the most cringeworthy TV moments I have ever seen, right? Do you remember the late Richard Whiteley?
Yes, I do. He died when everyone was at Glastonbury, one of the Glastonbury deaths.
Lovely little bit of trivia. I didn't know that. Yeah. He used to present Countdown, right? If you're not from the UK, look it up. It's a daytime game show. It's with words and numbers. It's quite culturally significant in the UK. It's still on now, presented by the guy who used to be one of Alan Sugar's sidekicks on The Apprentice. Anyway,
Donald Trump. Alan Sugar is the Donald Trump of England.
Yeah. Wow. In a way, on that show, yeah. Anyway, so basically, Pete, I don't know if you remember, but Richard Whiteley leaves Countdown. It's a big thing, right? Mm. And he's getting lucrative TV offers. And this show he settles on, which actually happened, is a show called Richard Whiteley Unbriefed. Right? Again, an astonishingly badly conceived idea. It is a live chat show, Pete, right? Where he plays the role of your Jimmy Fallons or whatever, right? And
He wasn't gifted, he wasn't funny, he couldn't sing, he wasn't good looking. It gets worse than this,
right? He's given a list of guests live, but he's not told who they are in advance. Right? So he gets given a few clues, and then after a few clues, they come out and he interviews them, right? And one episode happened where he gets given Paul Whitehouse, you know, the guy from The Fast Show?
Right.
He does that Gone Fishing show, Bob Mortimer, at the moment, right? And it becomes like crushingly clear that Richard Whiteley doesn't know who he is, even when he comes out, and he sits in front of him, and he has to interview him, and he doesn't know anything about him. He's never seen him before. He's never heard of him. It could just be anyone from the crowd. And it is so embarrassing for poor Paul Whitehouse. So when they announce that he's got, is he who it's going to be, right, because he doesn't get any of the clues, he doesn't know who he is, they say, and it's Paul Whitehouse. And everyone claps because they're live to the audience. And Richard Whiteley looks like he's just been told that he's got like a week to live. Right. It is horrendously bad. Honestly, it's so much fun watching that show. I've never had so much fun watching TV in my entire life. There are loads more of these types of shows I'd never heard of before in quite a chaotic era for the 90s in terms of TV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were more channels than ever before. There was more cocaine than ever before. And the channels had to be, you had to fill them with something. And there's some really crazy decisions made. I remember I was trying to explain this to my missus about, remember Ian Wright did it was like Saturday Night Right or something. He did a program.
Friday Night's
where,
All Right. I remember that.
Friday Night's All Right. And yeah. I seem to recall there was a contestant on Saturday Night's All Right on some kind of like game show part of it where they had to do something and the man lost and he was a terribly bad loser. And it becomes very, very clear very, very quickly that Ian Wright wants to knock this guy's block off because he's an idiot. And he's just getting more and more angry, this guy, because he's lost and he thinks it's unfair and he thinks everyone's been cheating behind his back and stuff. And Ian Wright just goes, "You're such a bad loser. You're such a bad loser. Like, what's wrong with you?" And I've never been able to find that clip again. And it always got repeated on those best...
Are you not getting confused with Dominic Diamond in Games Master? Because that definitely happened on
no,
Games Master.
No, that was Steve. Yeah, that was Steve something, the games animal, or Rich, yeah. Rich something, the games animal. Yeah, he's still around.
And he had leather trousers
and
a bandana on.
Yeah, he's still around doing the same thing. He made an online video game show.
Hey, when you think
last
about
year,
it,
and it wasn't very good.
When you think about it, though, how much longevity has Ian Wright got? What a legend! Like, he's still doing national TV now.
But he, like I've said it before, I've said it again. Like, I love Wright. I've worked with him myself, and the fact that I've worked with him will dictate that he will accept any job. And honestly, he never stops working. And I've probably said it before on this show. Maybe said it on the Ramble, but he is. The fact that he has any goodwill for anyone at any point, the fact that he ever comes across well is testament to how lovely that man is, because he works. He turns nothing down. He understands hard work. It's very core, and he just accepts every job, and he's great. I remember sort of doing a job with him, and he was going off to see a mate do some boxing, some, you know, white collar blue, but I could forget his white collar boxing. Anyway, doing some boxing, and you know, and he's like, "I'm absolutely knackered, Pete. I'm absolutely exhausted." And he was doing a radio show with me, and he was going off to do that. And obviously, like, I said, "Mate, just pop in and then leave again." He goes, "I can't. I've got to stick around for my mate and stuff." And so he was going down to see his mate. Now, you know, the difference between me going down and watching a boxing match, no one's stopping me for selfies and pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been there for hours just, you know, taking pictures with people, saying hello. And for everybody, that would be their first experience of Ian Wright. I have a lot of respect for blokes of his kind of like fame who just fucking work and put themselves out there every day and they just never stop.
He's doing it for the memory of Mr. Pigden.
Mr. Pigden, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And people will say, "Oh, yeah, but loads of people have like 25-year TV careers." Yeah, Ian Wright, that's not even his main job. He had another job before that. He was world-class at that.
And he wasn't very good at telly when he first started.
And that's you saying that.
And that's me saying that.
Yeah, I don't even get near TV, let alone big crap on it. I was just going to finish up by saying that the 90s was a mad, mad decade for that type of stuff. It just seemed like completely chaotic. What it reminded me of is that little period of time that you always talk about, when the internet was really unpredictable and a bit like the Wild West. It feels to me like TV was a bit like that. I don't know if I told you, but about 2 or 3 months ago, I watched an episode of The Big Breakfast on YouTube. Mad. Absolutely mad. Like, it's completely alien to anything you see on TV now.
Yeah. Well,
it's a brilliant idea, like, when you think about it, because what they've done is they've said, okay, most breakfast TV is like quite boring and news based, and either that or it's very safe and it's sofa stuff. And this was like mad, like chaotic, maniacal telly. But you just don't really see it much anymore, really.
Right, I think that clip that was going around of Rod Hull throwing himself into a chest freezer. Just the most astonishing. You know, I watch a lot of wrestling. That's the best sell I've seen in ever. The way that he throws himself into that chest, it's incredible. He goes 360 into a chest freezer. It's wonderful. And obviously, people are posting the clip of Rod Hull attacking Snoop Dogg when everyone was at the point of his career where everyone was scared of him as a gangster rapper. I think it was just after his getting arrested for shooting a man, wasn't it? I seem to recall.
Yeah, I mean, Snoop Dogg's transition from what he was to what he's now become. When you start to think about it, it's absolutely extraordinary. It is extraordinary. At that point, wasn't it? Is that the clip where he's like, he's stamping on emu's neck.
He was anyway, not in on the joke. Enjoyable.
Let's take a quick break, in which time Pete will chuck himself headfirst into his own freezer and possibly even pull out a frozen sausage. We'll see you in a minute.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Wrestle Me This Week, we talked about the worst way to accept a Hall of Fame award.
They were just titled, "You Suck It."
You suck, and then he pours milk over
Milk over his head.
What is this?
Pouring milk over yourself is absolutely something that if you did it once in any scenario, people would never forget it. We were just having Christmas dinner and he just poured 2 litres of milk over himself.
Or if you're more in the mood for some awkward anecdotes, Alex shared his experience with the cast of Event Horizon on this week's Clash of the Titles.
We meet Smitty, played by Sean Pertwee, a man who I bumped into in a bar having never interviewed and literally chewed his ear off, trapped him in a corner of a booth where he couldn't actually stand up and get away from me and talk to him incessantly about this film. Later on in the night, his wife said to me, "Sean's outside if you want to carry on talking to him about Event Horizon."
All that and more. At Sukarnov.
We're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. If you want to get in touch with the show, the Luke and Pete Show, it's very simple. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. That's the admin out of the way. Let's have some fucking email, shall we?
Yeah, and before we get into the emails proper,
Let's go backwards.
It's missives of a kind. I'm just going to go through the latest submissions for if any new players have entered the game on the battery brand front. Mm. So Trent Havercamp, which is a brilliant name on Twitter, has introduced us to the 777 battery, which I think is a new player. I think a new player has entered the game there.
Beautiful. That's
nice. Have you seen a 777 before, Pete?
A 777? No. I mean, is that kind of the kind of batteries that you'd put into a plane? I don't know.
Yeah, they're obviously taken off. I'll tell you what actually happened once. Well, I was working at a company where they gave you one of these big speeches. What do they call them? They call them town halls, I think.
Right.
Where everyone has to attend. You all stand up and then the CEO gives you a big talk and he thinks he's really funny and it's really boring. Mm. And he did this thing saying, "Oh, this company, I can't remember which one it was I was working at now. We're going to do this thing called the 777 strategy."
Right.
He gave all these reasons. Oh, 777.
Post-terrorist atrocity 77?
Well, Yeah, it was post that, but that's just 7-7, not 777,
yeah.
Crucially.
Okay.
The reasons he gave for calling it 777 was because there's loads of different reasons, right? So one is was that 777's in a fruit machine, in the jackpot, and a couple other reasons. And then he said, oh, and also there's a tremendously reliable aircraft called the Boeing 777, which has never once had a crash. No word of a lie. This is the summer of 2018, I think. No word of a lie. A couple of days later, a 777 crashed in Dubai, and the whole thing had to be mothballed because it was all the marketing, internal marketing, literature and everything, and it had to be completely changed. So I mean, that reminds me of.
You say, what are the chances of that happening? You sort of go, well, there's probably some very specific numbers that we could quote if we Googled it. Yeah. What are the chances of that happening? Speaking of planes and batteries, barring through Barack Obama's book that came out a couple of months ago, and he talks about on the campaign trail, the primary, he was on a plane. He managed to sort of hire like a plane to get around because, you know, it's just fucking America's so bloody vast. Ooh. And the pilot at one point couldn't, the battery on the plane wasn't working, so he took the battery out of the plane and charged it in the airport lounge. It's like, what the fuck?
What?
Like, that would be I mean, it was a plane of some size apparently as well, which
that is
just
unspeakable.
It's unspeakable, isn't it? Oh, good God.
Yeah, and speaking of that, one of our listeners emailed in and he was emailing about something else. I haven't got the email in front of me because I didn't select it for reading today. But I'll come back to him next week. But I'll just include a bit of the email which caught my eye. It was that he was talking about planes, and he's an aircraft engineer, right? And he's making this point about planes. It's quite interesting about
agreeing
parachutes.
With me because you know,
yeah, probably agree
sensible,
with you, but not with me. Yeah, and then he just put at the end as like a little postscript. Oh, and do you know what's quite interesting actually that. The engines are put on the wings with these bolts that are designed to shear off if the pilot needs them to.
Yeah, and well, so, or if the vibrations get too strong. I don't think that's an option. Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Either way, I'm not here for that. I don't want to hear that information. I wish I didn't learn it. I'm trying to try and forget it, but I won't be able to. Horrendous.
Yeah. Noah Roth.
Do you know about this?
Yeah, so they are designed in such... Well, no, Noah Roth, I'm just reading his email out at the back end of it anyway. They're designed in such a way that if the engine sustains massive damage and is vibrating in such a way to cause more damage to the aircraft, they will shear in half, dropping the engine from the wing.
Who's that falling on? Who is that... who's that falling on?
Look, I'd be very annoyed if an engine fell through my house because that's... I've played the odds there and I've come out wanting, to be quite frank.
Yeah. What are the chances of that happening? They're actually really slim.
Very low.
So yeah, before we get to the emails proper, Anton Molman, great name, has sent in the GP Extra Heavy Duty. That is not a new player.
No,
a new player has not entered the game there. Only the 777 sent in by Trent is a new player. Peter, do you have an email you want to take it away with?
I would. Daniel Grice. I do like that name. All right, gents, with regards to meat, I've got a packet of bacon bought from Iceland, the Kerry Katona one, not the dark frozen country, in the Czech Republic. I had no idea that Iceland existed in Eastern Europe. Did you? Did you know that Iceland's were in...
No.
I know you see a Martin Spencer in Hong Kong or something, and there's a reason for that, but I don't know what an Iceland's doing out in the Czech Republic, quite frankly.
No, I'm very surprised to hear that. And I also, one thing it does put me in mind of is that I was surprised, this is a kind of inversion of the point, but I was surprised at how many American stores there were in Iceland, the country. Were you surprised by that?
Like what kind of American stores is there? It's kind of...
I can't remember off the top of my head, but like, I'm sure there's like Best Buy and some places like that.
Oh, were they? Oh, okay.
Which
right.
I think it might be because Well, I think it might be because quite a lot of flights do go through Reykjavik, maybe. So maybe that's got something to do with it.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So he's sent us a picture of his bacon that he's bought in the Czech Republic. Origin of pork, EU, cured in the EU. Sliced and packed in the UK for Iceland Foods Limited UK. So essentially, all the UK do is slice the meat that's grown in Europe. Unfortunately, that means that...
Grown.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Grown meat?
Yeah, you can grow meat, can't you? Unfortunately, that means this meat can't be exported back to Europe now, meaning this is one of the last packets here. M&S have now closed here indefinitely, and Iceland have a small percentage of their stock, so not as attractive to a fat man. Not the most revealing email, I admit. Keep safe, gents. Presumably, yeah. Fat Man Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. That is wonderful.
We got the fish, though. Remember that? And the blue passport.
The happy fish. Have we even got the blue? The blue passports aren't worth much, are they? Can't go anywhere.
I think every single fish should now, excuse me, be given a tiny little blue passport that they slide in their gill.
Yeah, little bowler hat, little brolly.
And monocle.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely old job.
All right, what about this email then from Gavin, who has had a encounter with a minor celebrity. This is following up to a natural progression from the Michael Jackson / Anthea Turner story from last week. If you haven't heard that yet, you are missing out big time. Go back and listen to it. Gavin says, gents, I heard the story on the show about the writer meeting Michael Jackson / Anthea Turner. Although my story isn't quite as thrilling, it was very, very awkward. At the time, I was about 16 or 17, working at a 3-star hotel in the Rhondda in South Wales. I won't mention what the hotel was, but there aren't that many 3-star places in that area, so you can work it out yourself, probably. Cast your minds back to the early 2000s, where makeover shows were rife. That's very true, actually. In the early 2000s, there were makeover shows everywhere. Changing rooms, the top dog of makeover shows, were staying at my hotel, where they made up a house in a working-class area look like a brothel. Brackets, I imagine. I was a waiter serving the crew and their star host, Linda Barker. Do you remember Linda Barker?
I do, find her.
She's still doing stuff. Yeah. So I jokingly said after asking what she was planning to do to the house that they were refurbishing, quote, maybe you should come to do my bedroom, as in redecorate my bedroom. Cut to a second later, the whole table goes quiet and Linda looks very awkward. She said, I'm happily married, sorry. I, confused, said, oh, sorry, and then it dawned on me what she thought I meant. I avoided that table like the plague for the rest of the evening, as you can imagine. And as a side story, she also requested no autographs, as she didn't want to be hassled. Then later that night, I saw her with a pile of pre-signed headshots that she'd brought with her. Cheers, guys. Gavin.
Yeah, I mean...
Can we use any of that?
Of course we can.
Great, look,
he's a child. He doesn't know the inference, and he doesn't have a house. He has a bedroom. That's his life. That's his world. You should come and do my bedroom.
I mean, I hate to be on the side of.
I'm on the side of Linda Barker here. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, terrible. What does Gavin think was going to happen here? I mean, seriously. I mean, Linda Barker's still got a column in the Daily Express magazine. This is top quality stuff.
Yeah.
She's not going to... She finished in third place in the ITV celebrity diving vehicle, Splash, using Daly as her mentor. This is high quality stuff.
Oh,
do
wonderful.
Not say that to Linda Barker.
I know, terrible, eh?
I should say, by the way, still looks absolutely great.
In her cozzies.
Probably can.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what.
She looks great.
I don't really remember what she looked like before. Was she? Am I getting a mix up with Sue Barker from Special Sport?
I mean, I know you well, so almost certainly yes.
Who's Sue?
You're
Ryder?
Probably getting her mixed up knowing you with fucking Ronnie Barker.
There's just too many Barkers and Sues around for my liking, quite frankly. Yeah, but look, I understand. You didn't mean anything by it, but you're still going on the sex offenders register. Sorry about that, mate.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, mate.
It also, because it does seem like a euphemism, doesn't it? Would you like to redecorate my bedroom? What?
Yeah, exactly. Bedroom ceiling or something. Just something terrible. Awful.
Yeah.
Awful,
not
man.
Good. Do you want to squeeze another email in or do you want to go?
Squeeze another one in. My time is money, Luke. I got to shift off.
It's like just being at a shit house party. Just squeeze another one in or should we go?
Toby Bishop, Uri Geller. Hey guys, Toby here, the one who had to pay £7.50 for a scotch egg. Quick story for you. I had a flashback from when I was about 10 or 11. I was watching Uri Geller on the telly. He told viewers to place a metal spoon on top of the TV and to step away. I grabbed one from the kitchen and stepped back. This was the early 2000s, so it was a box TV. He then proceeded to perform his his supposed Sega Kinesis. Even at 10, I was sceptical, but as my memory has it, the spoon made a loud electrical twang and jumped off the TV, landing on the floor. I was absolutely stunned. I told my sister, but she didn't believe me. I know this can't have happened, but the event and the noise of the spoon is so clear in my head. Did I just want it to happen? Why is it so clear in my mind? Am I somehow magical? Cheers, Toby. Now, Toby, I'm almost certain that when you used to put your hand, the back of your hand, on a cathode ray tube television, it would be air, it would be warm. It would make your the hair on the back of your hands dance a little bit because of the static electricity.
Yeah,
so I imagine it probably had something to do with that, mate. Probably had something to do with that.
Detective Donaldson investigates.
Yeah. Had you degaussed your television recently? Because if you don't...
Good question.
I never understand what a... You used to have, like, gaussing pens back in the day. Not a clue.
I've never even heard that word before.
It was a button on your monitor. I've no idea why you had to do it, but it's like defragging your hard drive. It seemed to be important back in the day. Now it's not so much.
Why don't people defrag hard drives anymore?
I think they should do, really. But a lot of our memory is solid state nowadays, so I guess it's less important, I suppose. Because
I remember that being a real thing that dads would do.
Oh, it was like it. A lot of computer maintenance. It was like sort of looking after like an oldie timey 1920s car. You had to keep everything topped up with water and oil and stuff. I mean, you have to go into every car, really, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the people who would defrag regularly would also be good with things like cars and everything, right?
Yeah, well, except my dad. My dad can't drive for toff, but yeah, he would constantly sort of, don't touch a computer. It's defragmenting. It's defragmenting.
How is
this old 20 gig hard drive?
How is old Stewie? Doing all right?
He's all right. Yeah, he's fine. He was
any crosswords recently?
No, he is. He sent me the. He always sends me this document about the EU. When I point out that. When I point out that I think you might have forwarded, they've spent more on COVID than they ever did on the EU. Do you know what
I
mean?
The amount of money the UK government spent on COVID response is already higher than the lifetime subsidies to the EU, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And every time I mention the EU, he just sends me a file from a couple of years ago, Completing Europe's Economic and Monetary Union, the Five Presidents Report PDF. And I've never read it. I don't know what his point is. He's not explained what the point is he's trying to make, to be quite frank, but yeah.
What's the resolution like, though? I think I speak on behalf of all the listeners, but I want to know what if it's high res or what.
It's a decent quality PDF he sent. I've actually sent
that's
it on
something
WhatsApp.
At least. Surely you respect
how
that.
How's he sent that on WhatsApp? He doesn't use WhatsApp Web. What's going on? This goes deeper than ever.
This is the deep state.
What's going on? Right. I'm sure he should be on Parler by now.
Yeah, he probably is. Is he on Telegram? Big on Telegram?
Yeah, Telegram, yeah.
while we work all that stuff out, let's get out of here. That has been the Luke and Pete Show for Thursday and indeed for another week. Thank you very much if you've got in touch with us this week. Thank you very much for listening. We'd be hugely grateful if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us a great deal. Get in touch by emailing hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We are at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and excitingly on Instagram. Lots going on over there, so check that out too. Have a great weekend. You'll get through Friday, no problem. Me and Pete both believe in you. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again on Monday. Say goodbye, Peter.
Two presidents out, baby.
That's goodbye from me as well.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have. How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.